Please rise as you are able and join me in the call to worship. As people formed by God, we give praise to God. As people restored by God, we give praise to God. Dry ground and sea, rivers and desert. As people pressing on in faith, we give praise to God. As God's people, let us give thanks and praise to God. Let us worship God.
Please join me in hymn number 473, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Loving God, you have reconciled us in Jesus. We pray for all of those whom we are entangled, bringing healing to broken. Forgive us for the times we have wronged others, whether by ignorance or negligence. Grant us the courage and the grace to seek their forgiveness and opportunity to make amends.
When we arrived this morning, we entered into the normal bustle of a church on a Sunday morning. Friends greeting each other, choir members getting their robes, children bringing their energy and enthusiasm. Now that we are sitting together in the pews, I invite you to close your eyes and consider the word sanctuary. A sanctuary is a place set aside for sacred things. It is a place of refuge and protection. This room is a sanctuary. The season of Lent is a kind of sanctuary extended in time. And one of the things Lent teaches is that you too are a sanctuary. There is inside you a place for sacred things, a place where God abides. Let's now have a few moments of silence as we meditate. As we extinguish these lights, we acknowledge the darkness and pain of war and oppression in the world. Now let us pray.
Let us pray together. Loving God, we open our hearts to you. We invite you into our innermost being, only to find you are already there. Strengthen us in our quiet places, and then lead us into the work of justice and peace. Amen.
Spirit of the loving God, let your word fall afresh in our ears so that we might be renewed by its power and truly come to live as your servants. Thanks be to God. Amen. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence us in any voices but your own, so that we may hear your word and also do it through Christ our Lord. Amen. I'll be reading Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 through 21. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people who I'm formed for myself, and that they might declare my praise.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes to us from the gospel according to John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Listen for the word of the Lord. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany to the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard and anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we gather this morning, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Yesterday was a big day. I was privileged to attend the ordination of one of my colleagues, the newly minted Reverend Aaron Guzman. Aaron is now the installed chaplain at the College of Worcester, and I have had the privilege of working with Aaron for the last 4 years as she navigates the Presbyterian ordination system, the call process, discerning what it means to be a college chaplain, and working through a pandemic side by side. It was an even bigger honor than working with Erin to be invited to both sit next to her in the chancel yesterday and then participate and offer a word of prayer. Ordinations are spectacularly beautiful services. If you've never been to one, even if you don't know who is getting ordained, next time the presbytery announces one, go. It's so moving and fun and emotional. They're filled with hope and joy and careful planning and thought. In many ways, the liturgy and service of an ordination is the worship embodiment of that pastor being ordained. Sitting with Aaron yesterday, not surprisingly, caused me to reflect on my own ordination almost 6 years ago. That night, I was so excited. I was overwhelmed and anxious and scared and happy and proud. And Erin held her composure much better than I did and carefully dabbed her tears, whereas by the time I got to the kneeling down and laying on of hands, I was sobbing uncontrollably into a microphone. It's when my pastor kind of saved me and his hand thunked on my head, and I realized I needed to take a breath. I needed to pause. That pause and that grounding did not last long. When I got to the communion table, I again had to take a breath, take a moment, not think too hard about what I was about to do, but ground myself before I could get the words of institution out. Aaron also got to serve communion for the first time yesterday. And that communion service was only the third time that I have had communion since the pandemic started. And it was the first time that I was receiving communion as a congregant rather than presiding over the table. It's something different about receiving the elements than it is to be the one distributing them. Don't get me wrong, serving communion to this day is one of my favorite liturgical acts. I am so excited about this morning. But sitting there, having another person pouring out their heart and being a conduit for the Holy Spirit and grace is so moving. And as I was sitting there listening to the words of institution and the prayers, our passage from this morning came to mind. I preached this same passage for Muskingum on Thursday, and I will admit this is an entirely different sermon. My grand plans of doing one sermon for two services failed miserably. But as I was sitting there next to my colleagues, I started rethinking our passage this morning. Our passage is not that unique. We hear of many occasions in which Jesus sits down with friends and followers. Christ breaks bread, and every time Jesus is depicted sitting down with his friends and followers, it's a little different, and we learn something else about him. It's beautiful and culminates in the Last Supper, which we are preparing our hearts and minds for as we go through our Lenten journey. But this act of breaking bread with his disciples is so deeply human and yet beautifully divine. Simple elements of bread and wine transform into promises of salvation, promises of life after death, of sacrifice and forgiveness. And hope that even when things seem darkest and a betrayal is imminent, God's love and grace is ever present. Our gospel passage this morning is the last time we see Christ breaking bread before the Last Supper. He's sharing a meal that is filled with contradictions, filled with life and death, and friends, and betrayal, and oh, so much humanity. Jesus is at the home of his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus, who has been recently brought back from the dead. Lazarus, the friend that Christ wept over, is sitting at the table while his sisters help prepare the meal. One of the commentaries I read suggested or questioned if one of the reasons Mary had the perfume was because it was left from her brother's burial. Rereading the text, I'm not sure if I fully agree with that, since it says she bought it for Jesus. But one has to sit and think about what that could feel like. Mary just lost her brother and got him back and is sitting here with the one that she hopes is the Messiah, the Son of God, in her house. She's overcome and uses something that is valued at a year's salary to anoint her friend. Many other commentators I read got bogged down in debating the value of the ointment, and debating if Judas is being helpful and the narrator is out to get him, or if Judas is really as horrible as the narrator depicts him to be and is a hypocritical thief. But when I read this passage, all I saw was the humanity. I saw people. None of us are perfect. None of us quite know what to do, and I don't know anyone who would know what to respond with if Jesus sat down for dinner with them. They each respond in their own way. The narrator makes sure to point out that Judas is a sinner. And we know that Lazarus is a loved friend, and they are sitting at that table together. They are breaking bread together in the presence of our Savior. Jesus does admonish Judas a little bit and tells him to leave Mary alone. Leave her alone, this text says. She brought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. Our friendships and time together are fleeting. We don't know when a meal will be our last with a loved one. There are constants in life: the poor in spirit, those who are suffering. There will always be deep need in our world, and I don't think that this passage is dismissing that. Christ is not saying, who cares about the poor? They're always going to be there. Jesus is saying, needs will always exist, but my physical presence among you is fleeting. And I read this as saying, take a breath, take a moment, and worship. There are few more humbler depictions of worship in the New Testament than Mary kneeling at the feet of her Savior, washing his feet with her hair. It's beautiful and uncomfortable. As we reflect on this passage, I invite you to take a breath, to ground yourself for a moment. Acknowledge those constant hardships in life that are all around us, because they will always be there. But as we gather at this table, think of those who might not be with us for much longer. Think of those that we have not seen in a while, and think of those friendships and relationships that you value and love. Those are gifts from God and worthy of praise and worship. The text from Isaiah this morning has the famous line of, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We're in the season of spring, despite the snow on Friday. New things are breaking forth around us. We are almost all the way through Lent, and the newest thing that ever happened is the resurrection and Easter. And 2,000 years later, it is still new and exciting. As we meditate on these last few weeks, look towards those new things. Cherish what is and what is fleeting, and find comfort that there is new life, new friends, and new hope around the corner. And everyone, sinners and friends, are welcome. Amen.
Please stand. and join me in singing hymn number 513, Let Us Break Bread Together.
Remain standing and join me in the affirmation of faith before we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We believe that God is present in the darkness before dawn, in the waiting and uncertainty where fear and courage join hands, conflict and caring link arms, and the sun rises over barbed wire. We believe in a with us God who sits down in our midst to share our humanity. We affirm a faith that takes us beyond the safe place into action, into vulnerability, and into the streets. We commit ourselves to work for change and put us on the line, to bear responsibility, to take risks, live powerfully and face humiliation, to stand with those on the edge, to choose life and be used by the Spirit for God's new community of hope. Amen. Please be seated. When Jesus gathered with his disciples the night he was betrayed, he broke bread with them. He broke bread with them knowing what was about to happen, knowing who was at the table, and welcomed them all. So know that no matter your shortcomings that you might feel, no matter the mistakes that you have made, you are welcome at this table just as you are, beloved by the Creator. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. Eternal God, you are holy and mighty. And it is our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise and to worship you around the world. You laid the foundations of the earth and the heavens with your hands. All will eventually perish, but you will endure always. You are the constant. Your years will never end. You made us in your image and called us to be your people, but we have turned from you, living in sin and death to reign. Still, you love us. You call each of us, and you send your Son to live among us and defeat death so that the way to eternal life might be open. Therefore, we praise you, Lord, joining our voices with the heavenly choirs and all the faithful of every time and place, forever singing the glory to your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus sat at table, and after giving thanks, he broke the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in memory of me." Will the ushers come up and get the bread? As the ushers pass out the bread, rather than passing the plates down the pew, they will lean. And I invite you to take a cup, and then we will all partake of the bread together once we have all been served. One on top. Friends, this is the bread of life broken for you. Take and eat. And in the same way, after the meal, Jesus took the cup and poured it out and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, which is shed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." Again, we will share the cup around the room, and then we will partake of it together. Will the ushers come up? Friends, this is the cup of the new covenant. Take and drink. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Spirit among us and among these gifts of bread and wine. Help them to fortify us as we go out into your world. Equip us to be your hands and feet of love, caring for all those we meet. Sustain us until we meet again and gather at your table, trusting in your love. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join me in hymn number 85. What wondrous love is this?
My soul. There is hope at the end of winter. Spring is around the corner, and Easter will be here before we know it. Have faith that as we travel through these last two dark weeks of preparation and Lent, that you are welcomed at the table exactly as you are, beloved from the beginning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon each of you and give you peace, now and always. Amen.
On a rugged hill stood a mocking throng, scorning him who came to save the lost. It was not in vain that the Savior came to redeem the world, that priceless
Yeah.